You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, we've been on this incredible journey. How many have enjoyed this Believe series? I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed this Believe series. Some Sundays, I think I was preaching to myself. But God is good, and I want to share with you something that I think is very, very powerful. And it's based around the story of the Roman centurion, and God just really dropped this into my spirit. I've been kind of, since the beginning of the Believe series, I had this thing rolling around in my head, and I said, I know at some point we're going to get around to the Roman centurion and his faith. And but let's start right here in Hebrews 11:6. If you will, you can find it in your Bibles. Hebrews 11:6, and it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." It is impossible to please God without faith. So today I want to preach to a sermon entitled "A Faith That Pleases the Lord." A faith that pleases the Lord. Two things that Jesus always stopped and took special attention to in his ministry. That was when someone had exceptional faith and when somebody had little to no faith. Jesus would stop what he was doing and specially recognize what was going on in the atmosphere, saying, "This is amazing faith," or "This is little faith. You need more faith." And this is what I think is so important, that we have in our spiritual walk a faith that pleases the Lord. If Jesus took the time out to make sure that he taught the disciples and he would be very clear with the disciples when they had little faith, and he was very clear in his ministry when he saw someone that had great faith. If we look at Mark 4, we see at the very beginning of the series, we talked about Jesus in the boat, in the storm. The disciples woke him up, and he rebuked the storm, and then he rebuked the disciples, saying, "How long am I going to be with you, you of little faith?" In Matthew 11, he spoke, there's a boy that had demons on him, and he was just having all these types of problems, and the father comes to Jesus and said, I brought the boy to your disciples, and your disciples couldn't heal him. And so Jesus said, he prays, he heals the boy, the demons go out of the boy. And then the disciples say, "Well, why? Why weren't we able to do it?" He said, "You didn't have enough faith." And so Jesus was always making special mention of this. Jesus was always commenting on faith. But this one individual that I want to talk to you about today, he wasn't Jewish. He didn't have any type of spiritual special education. But he had this central component of what you need, and that's faith. He had the key ingredient that is faith. He believed, and that's what made all the difference. And that's what tells me that God is no respecter of persons. God can use anybody. God can heal anybody. God can touch anybody. God can fix anybody. God can use anybody that will exercise their faith. Faith is the key ingredient here. This man we're about to talk about, he was an outsider. He was uneducated in the protocols, the Jewish protocols, but he had faith. He had faith. Let's read it now. Matthew 8:5. Let's start there. "When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, 'Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain.' And Jesus said, 'I will come and heal him.' But the officer said, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because, listen, I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slave, do this, they do it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. So the man believed, and Jesus said, because you believed, it's done. Two important things about this Roman officer. Two important things. Position and authority. Position and authority. Listen to this carefully. If you are looking for a miracle in your life, you need to grab hold of these two components. Position and authority. Position and authority. The man talked about authority, and he talked about his position. Important. Now, the Roman officer, in some translations called it the Roman centurion, he was roughly in charge of about 200 men. His rank was comparable to a captain in the army. And there's something about understanding position, getting in position. But so many people in our American culture, we don't get this. We have this sense of individualism, and we have this underlying rebellious type of overtone in our culture. But this army officer understood something from his military background, that if he could get in the right position, there was something about being under authority. When he went out and he put his uniform on, he wasn't just him. He represented the Roman Empire. He represented something much larger. And so he said to Jesus, I'm a man who understands authority. And that piqued Jesus' interest. Jesus said, no, this is interesting. I like this. He said, in essence, to Jesus, I have superiors over me, and I have men under me that obey my authority. I understand authority. I have authority over me. Therefore, I have authority to command others. If you understand true authority, you will have authority over you so that you can have authority flowing through you. This is what this officer was saying. We got to get this, because there's only a few times that Jesus said, man, I'm amazed at this faith. This was his revelation. So we got to get this. He said, I have authority over me so that I can have authority flowing through me. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I don't do anything. Jesus was even operating in the same type of chain of command. He said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. And then when Jesus ascended, he said, all power has been given to me. All power and authority is given to me by my Father in heaven. Therefore, I tell you to go. He said, see this chain of command. I'm getting the authority from the Father. I have the authority now. And now I'm going to give you the authority if you get in position. Listen now. This Roman officer with no Jewish background, with no formal education on spiritual things, says, I'm going to put myself in position to let your authority flow through me, to fix something in my house. The Roman officer says to Jesus, I see that you're a man of authority in healing, and I need to put myself underneath your authority. I need to submit to your authority so that I can get your authority on me. Because if I can get your authority on me, that authority will fix what's in my household. But you see, our culture has lost the concept and understanding of submission. Everybody wants to be their own chief, their own boss, their own thing. No. Understand, God wants you to be kings and priests. He wants you to rule and reign. But we have to still be submitted where God says to submit. The army captain says, I'm going to submit myself to you because you are an authority in this area. And I need what you have. If I get underneath your authority, things are going to get healed in my house. I've got some areas in my house that need to be healed and fixed. And I know if I put myself underneath your authority, I'm going to receive what comes through being in position. Many are missing their blessing because they're not in position. Can I tell you, the miracle is right there. We're not waiting on God so much as He's waiting on us to get in position for what He has for us. The old saints used to say, get next to the spout where the glory comes out. If you're not in position, you're not going to get what God has for you. You got to get in position, get underneath where you need to get so you can get what God has for you. And so this is what happened here. You got to get into position to get your blessing. This man of great faith understood this because of his military background, his role in authority, that he needed to have authority over him to have authority flowing through him. You don't get authority by being a rogue agent. Listen, you get authority by being underneath authority. That's how you get authority. He understood it. Jesus preached it. Jesus said, I'm underneath. I don't do anything without the Father. And now, you see, Jesus is the head of the church, and we're underneath His authority now. This army captain said, I need to put myself underneath true authority. But here's the problem. So many people are missing their miracle because they're not submitting to the Word of God. So many people are missing the full manifestation of what God has for them in their life because they're not submitted to the Word of God. There's an area or two in their life that they're missing it, and they're missing the blessing in that area because they're not submitted to the Word of God in that area. Too many times, people want a miracle, but they pick and choose from the Word of God when it's preached. They hear it, they hear the Word of God, they read the Word of God, but then they pick and choose what they feel is applicable for their life instead of submitting to the Word of God in each area of their life. The authority and power of God will only flow through your life when you get underneath God's authority. Yes, you can have a chance encounter with God's grace, get a special blessing, special miracle, but to have the consistent flow of God's authority and power in your life, you need to be in position. You need to be positioned, submitted underneath His authority. God has a chain of command. Get underneath God's blessing. Turn to somebody and say, get underneath God's blessing. You need a miracle? Find out what God is doing and get underneath that. Amen? So many people, you're waiting on God to come to you, waiting on God to come to you. This Roman, he came to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she went to Jesus. She didn't wait, say, one glad morning, Jesus is going to come to my house. No, even Zacchaeus, he climbed up in a tree, got close to God, got close to Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, I can see you. Now I'm coming to your house. We have to take an active role of getting in position and submit, get under the Word of God. Submit to that. Submit to the commands of God. Take areas of your life that are rebellious to the Word of God and bring them into submission. Don't act so holy. You know you got an area or two that you're dealing with. It's a flesh area, something angry. You don't want to let something go. You don't want to totally forgive somebody. Kind of feels a little good to hold something over somebody's head. And you don't submit that area completely to the Word. Come on, let's be real. If you want the full manifestation of God's goodness in your life, come into alignment. 2 Corinthians 10:5 said, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That means those little areas that the Holy Spirit highlights, and He says, address this area, submit this area, bring this area underneath submission to the Word of God. I was on a prayer walk, just praying, you know, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. God, just help me be a better leader. Help me be a better dad. Help me be a better husband. You know, show me what it is that you want me to do. And God, just reveal, you know, the next step for me, you know, I just want to continue to grow. And God said, okay, I want you to love your enemies. And I said, okay, I got that. I got that. I can love my enemies. He said, do you really love your enemies? I said, yep. Do you pray for them? I said, yeah, I pray for them. He said, no, I'm not talking about little general prayers. I'm saying, can you specifically pray for the welfare of your enemies? Can you pray that God's hand would be upon them and bless them, that God would do miracles in their life, in the life of your enemy? Can you specifically pray? I said, well, hey, now. But you see, we have to bring every area into submission of the Word of God if we want the full manifestation. See, we talk about the prophetic word that we received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know how that's going to come to pass? You got to pray on that thing. You got to pray on that thing. And you got to bring your life into submission with the Word of God until you collide with destiny. Some people don't know that most prophecies aren't, you know, whatever happens, this is going to happen either way. You know, that's like 2%, 5% of the prophecies that come forth, right? Amen. Most of the prophecies are contingent upon your prayer and your obedience, how much you're submitted to the Word of God. God's standing there. The Bible says he stands at the door knocking. Ooh, he's standing there at the door knocking with your miracle. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to come submit to the Word of God? Submit to what he's asking you to do? Amen. God is looking. God is not looking for someone that looks pious. He's looking for someone submitted to the Word of God and has faith. Hallelujah. He's not looking for you to come in here and look religious, or look religious in front of your family, or look religious in front of your coworkers. He's looking for you to be submitted to the Word of God and have faith. You see, because if you have true faith, your demonstration will be on full display in front of the people around you. But too often we're concentrated on looking nice. We want to look nice and we want to look pious. We want to look spiritually fancy. But we got some areas that we're not submitted to the Word of God. The prophet Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. He told Saul that when Saul was, he was taking all these sheep and all these oxen, and he's making all these big sacrifices, making a big show. And Samuel said, but did you obey what God said to do? He said, yeah, well, you know, I kind of, you know, we did this and we did that, but then we got all this sacrifice. He said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I didn't ask if you made a big sacrifice. I said, did you submit to the Word of God? And that's where the comment came from. That's where the statement came from that Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission to the Word of God is better than doing religion the way that feels comfortable. Oftentimes we do things in a comfortable way. But God wants us to receive the full benefits of being in his kingdom. He wants us to receive the full benefits of being a son and a daughter. John G. Lake, when he was down in Africa and they healed thousands of people, oftentimes Reverend Lake would come in and he would pray for them, and many people would get healed immediately, but then some people would not. And those people, they would take into another room, and there was another minister there that would lead them through a prayer of repentance. In essence, bringing whatever area of their life back into submission with the Word of God. Far too often, the people of God, the miracle that you're waiting for, actually, God's waiting on you to line up with the blessing. In a moment, I want to open up the altars. I really believe this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Bring every area into submission with the Word of God. And it's a journey. It's a journey. There's nobody that's perfect. Nobody has everything submitted all at once. You know what? The Holy Spirit shows you an area and you address that area. Then the Holy Spirit shows you a new area, maybe a little while later, and you submit that area. This area, will you stand with me? That area, and you submit that to. I want to open up the altar in a moment, that we can just come down and kneel and just This is the moment just between you and God. Nobody laying their hands on you. This is just between you and God in the altar saying, God, I got this area. I want to lay this down. I want to submit this to you. It may be a big area, might be a really small area, but you know it's time to just bring it into submission with what God is saying. Bring it into submission with the word of God. Remove every hindrance in the way of your blessing. It's time to stop the delay. Bind the delay up. Cast the delay out of your life and get on with the blessing that God has for you. So as they sing this song, I just want you come down to the altar and just, you can just bow down, or if you can kneel down, or you can kneel down at your seat and let's just pray that prayer. Just pray a prayer between you and the Lord. Just say, God, I give you this area. God, I know I've been holding back in this area. I know I've been holding off on this area. I know you spoke to me something here. And I just want to say, God, I submit. I submit to what you've been saying. And I want to do it your way. God, I want to do it your way. Thank you for highlighting that area, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for showing me. Wherever you are, just pray that prayer today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.